I know we have just come from watching a movie, and this happens when we do this on the retreats. I always have to issue a bit of a warning. This is not the usual way to spend a Sunday morning watching comedies. But I hope that we can take from the movie what was good, and we can leave behind what was not as good. By the way, I want to remind you, before you go running home and say you watched a great movie, we watched an edited version of the movie, so don't go telling people to go watch the movie, because they're going to see scenes that we didn't see. I did that once. I think I've told this story. I saw a movie on a plane. I thought it was pretty good. I recommended it to someone, and they watched it and found out it had a very explicit scene in it, which was not shown on the plane. Anyway, let's since what's fresh in our minds is the movie more than the theme of the retreat, let's at least take with us some of the lessons we got from the movie. First of all, our theme is "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and that question, whether we're listening or not, comes up in the movie, because the main character there, Bruce, was certainly not listening. He was complaining and fixated on his own will, and he was judging God. Then the whole question of prayer and how it works is in the movie, when Bruce decides with his divine powers to say yes to all, and it turns out to be a disaster. So that gives us a little insight into why God doesn't say yes to all, because it's not good for us. It's not the loving thing to say yes to all our prayers. We might even ask ourselves, well, what do we expect God to do with his power? What Bruce expected was to make everything good for his own life. And he discovered that's not what makes him happy, taking care of himself. What makes God happy is not simply taking care of himself, he doesn't need to care for himself, but what makes him happy is to love, to take care of others, to share his life with others. And since love has to be free, we get this whole mystery of God's respect for free will that was in the movie as well. God does not override our will. He invites us to participate with him freely. Okay, well, so that's all part of what we have just reflected on. Let's try to enter into this Mass. This is the concluding Mass of our retreat. This is the highlight, or one of the highlights of our retreat. And it's also the beginning of the fifth week of Lent, which is a very rich period of liturgical life. In some places, this is the day they start covering the crosses and the religious images, fifth week of Lent. This week, we will also have a special celebration. On Tuesday, it's the Solemnity of St. Joseph. So it's a very rich week. And of course, this week leads up to Palm Sunday. 1 week from today is Palm Sunday, which is the opening of Holy Week. So that's where we are. And we're reflecting on the liturgy of today in light of our theme, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." I'm just going to pick out a few ideas from the readings that are related to this theme. First of all, the idea of the Greeks in the Gospel who want to see Jesus, which is also a kind of request to listen. And then secondly, what people hear. The crowd shows up again in the Gospel. And then thirdly, a little reflection on the heart, because the heart is also part of these readings, creating me a clean heart. Well, first of all, the request of the Greeks, "We would like to see Jesus," I think that's an expression of the desire of the heart, which is why it's not hard to connect it to the request, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." When we make that request, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," it's because we want to hear. And when we make a request, "We want to see Jesus," it's because we want to see. And this seeing and this listening are not just physical satisfaction, but personal connection. We want to have a relationship with Jesus. That's why we want him to speak and we want to listen. That's why we want to see him. Not just to see him out of curiosity, but to have this communication and relationship with him, connection with him. Now, that request is, we want to see Jesus, is transmitted to Jesus, and Jesus responds in a very puzzling way. He immediately starts talking about the grain of wheat. And we're to take from this that to see him, if we're going to really see him, if we're really going to know him, we have to know the meaning of the grain of wheat. The grain of wheat which dies and is fruitful, dies and rises. That's who Jesus is. If we want to know him, we have to know he's someone who comes to die and rise. If we don't know that, then we don't know him. The other thing he implies in his answer to Philip and Andrew is that to see him implies to follow him. Not just to look at him, but to follow him. In fact, I don't know if any of you read the little reflection of Pope Francis that's chosen for today. Pope Francis says this better than I did just now. He says the answer of Jesus is about the grain of wheat, and then this is what the Pope says. These words do not seem to respond to the request those Greeks made. In reality, they surpass it. In fact, Jesus reveals that for every man and woman who wants to find him, he is the hidden seed ready to die in order to bear much fruit. As if to say, if you wish to know me, if you wish to understand me, look at the grain of wheat that dies in the soil. That is, look at the cross, so that we can learn from the request of the Greeks. Now, the second reflection or point of reflection I want to share here is also connected to the issue of listening. I pick out a rather obscure detail from the gospel where the Father says, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. And the crowd hears that, and some say that was thunder, and some say an angel was speaking to him. And Jesus says, that voice wasn't for me, it was for you. So this is three different ways of hearing the same sound, right? Three different categories of listening, like we saw yesterday. The crowd comes up with lots of different answers. Not all of them are very valuable. So the first answer is, that sound was just thunder. And this is the tendency to reduce everything to a natural explanation. The tendency, which is so strong in the materialistic, the secular world, to discount the possibility of supernatural phenomena or of supernatural communication or even of supernatural realities. Everything can be explained scientifically. That's thunder. That sound is thunder. That's the end of it. You don't have to think about God trying to communicate with you. So that's bad listening. Because there's a prejudice already built in that the only thing we can trust is scientifically verifiable evidence. The second group in the crowd came up with something a little better. They said, oh, that was an angel. An angel was speaking to him. So it's a supernatural explanation, but it's still not correct. There wasn't an angel. And it also is an indication of a tendency to bracket religious phenomena as something that is not for us. Or this tendency to box religious experience into mere personal preference. That was for him, meaning not for us. He can have his angel if he wants to. I've got my own religious perspective. You see what I'm trying to point out here? A variety of bad listening is to separate what is really happening because it's not for you, or we defend ourselves and say, well, that was someone else's religious insight or experience, kind of personalized religion, private religion. Turns out it was wrong, because Jesus says that voice, it was not thunder and it was not an angel, that voice, which is the voice of the Father, is not for me, Jesus says, but for you. As if to remind us, God speaks to us. He doesn't just speak to other people. He doesn't just speak to Samuel or to Jeremiah. He speaks to us. And that's part of this retreat, to trust that God really reveals himself to each person because he loves us. We know that if we're not listening, God is still speaking, but his way of speaking is to try to get our attention. That came out in the movie, right? He'll try to get our attention if we're not listening, but that's still speaking, and it's speaking to us personally. So part of our question on the retreat was, what? Here I am saying to the Lord, speak, your servant is listening, but what is God saying to me? And when you go home from the retreat, recall, what has God revealed to you on this weekend? What has he said to you? What is he saying to you? Don't just say, oh, someone else got a grace on the retreat, or the angel spoke to someone else. No, what about you? What about me? Okay, so that's the little reflection on listening. The first reflection was on wanting to see Jesus and what it means and who he is. And then the second reflection is on this different categories of listening, crowd. Well, lastly, I'd like to point out some of the things that come from the readings here on the heart. This is clear in the first reading where the Lord says through the prophet, I'm going to write my law on their hearts. And it's very clear in the psalm where, and we even sang that, create in me a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. The heart is the place where we actually do our real listening, our best listening, and where our relationships are really rooted, our real relationships, our heart relationships, with God and with others. So it's important to have a listening heart, a clean heart, a heart that is that welcomes what God writes on it. In the psalm, or in the prophecy, it was the statement of through Jeremiah that God is going to start a new covenant because the people broke the old one, and he's going to not just write it on stone tablets but on the heart. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer will they have need to teach their friends and relatives how to know the Lord. All, from least to greatest, shall know me. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to know him. And that means to know him heart to heart, not just to know about him, or to hear about him, or even to say words about him, but to have a heart-to-heart relationship with him. And how can we do that? Well, God is the one who makes it possible. God is the one who creates the clean heart. We don't make ourselves a clean heart. God does it. That's what we say in the psalm. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. God gives the grace to be able to listen to him, to communicate with him, to hear him and put his words into practice. And with confidence in that gift, we go forth from the retreat. We have been saying all weekend, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And when we listen, God speaks. And when he speaks, he gives us the capacity to hear more. He gives us the capacity, the capability of putting into practice what we hear. So with confidence in that grace, we go forward.